This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on New Year's Eve 2024. Got a couple of other texts coming. It would be great movies to watch tonight. The Great Santini. Robert Duvall was so good in that movie. It's unbelievable. Plays the part of a fighter pilot who's really mean to his son, but mean in a way that he wants his son to be tough growing up. Great, great, great movie. Another one of my all-time favorites, The Great Race with Tony Curtis, Jack Lemmon, and Natalie Wood. I never saw that movie.
No, that's an old movie.
Yes. Let's go to our man, Tony Walters. Tony, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm waking up.
I was just going to say your voice never changes.
It's always raspy.
You're always waking up, huh?
Hey, Tony.
Happy New Year to you, Tony. We're just talking about New Year's Eve, very special day. And we've had you on before talking about your book.
I just want to back up real quick. Just give another. Tony Walters, how many years with the Press Gazette, Tony?
Just about 40 years.
40 years. Press Gazette. Grew up in Green Bay. Long, unbelievable family heritage in Green Bay over the years and did so much for the city of Green Bay. Now an author. Wrote a great book on the Ice Bowl. But anyway, I'm just going to take it from there. Jim?
Oh, sorry. He's one of those guys I think everybody knows.
And they do, but I just want to.
Yeah. Okay, so we all right, now.
That was Broadcasting 101, wasn't it, Todd?
Absolutely.
See, and I didn't take that course, Tony, as you know. But tell us, the Ice Bowl, right? I mean, people are talking about it today, and I think that's awesome. It's about Green Bay. It's the part of who we are, part of our culture.
Has anything ever happened in Green Bay that is more memorable worldwide than the Ice Bowl, Tony?
Probably not. I mean, it just is, reminds, you know, it's impacted so many people in a lot of different ways, even those that weren't there. So, people still talk about it. As Chuck Mersine told me, that it's a game that'll never die.
Yep. That's exciting. So with that, tell me your fondest memory of that, because everybody has theirs, kind of not a Kennedy thing, but, you know, kind of people who were around really remember where they were. Like, my father-in-law was at the game. And is that really true that if everybody said they were at the game, we're at the game?
A million people.
Yeah. But he really was there. He was there. How about you, Tony?
I was on the field. I was supposed to work with a photographer from the Associated Press where I would run his film to a dark room under the stadium. But his camera froze before the game started, and he left. And I had nothing to do but just walk the sidelines. And when Bart scored the winning touchdown, I was right there at the goal line. So it was very memorable that way.
Wow. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I guess John knew that.
I didn't know you were at the goal line watching that. Tony. I just assumed you were working. I remember the part about the photographer. I didn't know. How old were you, Tony, if you don't mind my asking? You had to be really young.
I was 22.
Okay.
I was 22 at that time. I was just a part-timer in the sports department, and so they assigned me there. But my pass down on the field said I was supposed to stay back against the stands, but nobody was checking. You know, they were just surviving down there. So I walked right past the Packers bench, you know, going one end down to the other. And
see some tackling out there.
Yeah. Grab.
Wow, that's very cool.
Tony, and you wrote a great book, and I really enjoyed it. And we've got a couple guys. Well, we've got some guys coming up. Ron Umenta, who is, I mentioned him to you, he's one of the guys on top of the goalpost when they're trying to tear it down. And a couple months later, he was in Vietnam. We've got Chuck Wellens coming in, who is sitting on top of a mountain in Vietnam, outside of Khe Sanh, listening to the game. And then we've got Rocky Blyer coming on, talk about it. And you, I'm not going to give it away, but you did his story in your book, about which I think is a great, great story about Rocky Blyer, the legendary Rocky Blyer, and him being involved with that game.
Yeah, the fact that he, and I don't want to give away his thing, but he was on crutches because he had blown out his knee at Notre Dame. And so his father talked him into leaving with about 4 minutes to go in the game. You know, and they were in the parking lot when the game ended with the roar of the crowd. But what was remarkable to me was Rocky told me that 5 years later he was on the sidelines with the Steelers. And
okay, you're giving away my story, Tony. Okay, you're giving away my story. Yeah, yeah. This is radio, Tony. We got dozens of people listening.
Okay, I'll save that one for Rocky. But you know, you mentioned the one person on the goalpost. One of the remarkable pictures is you see the people on the goalpost and the goalpost coming down, but in the background is the stands. Now, this is half hour after the game's over, and you look in the background, and the stands are still full. Yeah. You know, you think, what's the matter with these people? Yeah. The game's over.
And that cold. Isn't that,
yeah.
Tony, have you ever been as cold as that? I mean, you've lived here in Green Bay forever. I mean, literally forever. Have you ever been, have we had colder days?
We have, to be honest with you, John, I don't remember being cold. I'm sure I had no skin showing or anything like that.
Wow.
Having grown up there, but I don't have a real strong memory of like being cold and thinking I wish this game would get over.
Wow.
I was aware of the fact that the Cowboys were dominating that game in the second half.
Yeah, you're right.
But the Packers pulled it off.
That's funny you say that because I've talked to someone else who was there and they don't. It kind of became colder after they saw the story. You know, they weren't watching the game. It was we were like focused.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's be honest, though, too. And I haven't sat in the stands in a long time, but I do know that.
Oh, yeah. Body heat.
Once you're all just and you only have, what, about 14 inches on those seats.
Right.
So I imagine that part of it, huh, Tony, if you're up there and, you know, 20 rows up and surrounded by people and not really moving, have your snowmobile suit on or whatever, I would imagine then it's bearable. But these guys running around without gloves on and sleeveless, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. It was a different mentality there, that's for sure.
The other reason I don't think people really complained in the stands is, can you imagine if you did? It's so cold.
You're good, get the hell out.
we need the room.
Absolutely. Tony, you know what I just read yesterday? And I had to like double check this. I could not believe it. Do you know that that was only the third game ever played at Lambeau Field in December up to that point?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yes.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Because they always used to go to the West Coast for like their last games. And it's been like 2 weeks out in the West Coast playing the Rams and the 49ers. Huh. And that's only
correct.
Third game ever held at Lambeau Field in the month of December. Isn't that bizarre when you think about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Time's changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tony, what are some of the things in regards to like with your book? And first of all, where can everybody get it?
Just about Bosses and DePere has it. Barnes & Noble also has it. You know, and other bookstores through the valley, too, have it as well. Plus, you can get it on Amazon. So,
Tell the name of it, Tony.
Ice Bowl, the game that will never die.
There you go. Tony, in talking with the people, and obviously you at the front, when you talk about somebody having a front row seat, I can't imagine somebody having more front row seat than being on the goal line as Starr goes in. But in talking to people, what are some of the things that maybe they told you where it's like, oh my gosh, I never knew that. Were there anything, or did you pretty much know going in everything that happened that day?
Well, yeah, and I wasn't looking for people to tell me it was cold or to tell me that the Packers won.
Right.
You know, it was how the game impacted it. The kind of the moving stories, the high school girl who surprised her father with tickets to the game, his first game ever. And then the people that still have pieces of the goalpost, that they have kept. And you mentioned Vietnam with the one man, my friend Tyler, who was guarding a bridge with another soldier in the middle of the night, and listening to the game on
Armed Forces Radio.
And then his friend, who is from Dallas, later was killed in Vietnam, and Tyler went to Washington to find his friend's name on the memorial. So the impact of the Ice Bowl has completely different significance to him. So it was the way the game, you know, impacted people and their memories, whether they were at the game or not.
Did you go out that night, Tony, after work downtown?
No, I went home.
Okay.
I had nothing to do. My brother had his car, and we met at his car. It started, and we went home, and I'm sure there was probably some warm drinks waiting for us. I didn't linger.
Somebody just texted, did somebody take Tom Landry's hat that day? I know somebody grabbed Lombardi's, and he got it back from him. Right, Tony?
Yeah, he did. He grabbed it right back, and... Yeah, that was amazing. The stuff that was carried out of there, somebody carried a bench out of there.
Yep.
And the man that went down and sat on the Cowboys bench and took Don Meredith a swarm-up jacket.
Yep.
And, security was certainly lax on that day.
Well, I didn't realize until I read this not long ago that after Star scored, like a couple hundred fans rushed the field already. The cops had to clear the field. You must have been in the middle of that, kind of, huh?
No, I stayed out of that. But
it wasn't far from you, yeah.
Because there were still two desperation passes that Meredith tried after that. The game wasn't over when Bart scored. So,
you know what? I got to tell you something about that. Those last two plays, they're just, whatever. I read Lance Rentzel's book, When All the Laughter Died in Sorrow. Did you ever read that book?
No, I did not.
Okay, Lance Rentzel, bizarre story. Lance Rentzel was a great receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. He was married to literally the hottest woman in the United States at the time, Joey Heatherton. Remember Joey Heatherton?
I do remember that. Yes.
Okay. Gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, she was almost like the Taylor Swift of the, you know what I mean? But she was just gorgeous and huge and popular, and he was married to her. And he had a mental illness where he was exposing himself to people. Yada, yada, yada. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Where's
but that's going? What. Well, that's what he wrote the story about. He said, "Hey, this is my life. I'm going to lay it out there. I had this issue. Yada yada. I went to, but it was covered. Okay, forget about that part. Okay. But
so
he
wrote a book. Does that have something to do with the Ice Bowl?
Can I finish?
Yeah.
He talked about in those last two plays where it's like he took off. It's Meredith was like just run it, and he said he thought he was running. It's like okay, he must have got sacked or something, and he realized the ball was coming to me, and he'd already let up. And he said if he had run full speed,
really?
He had the DB built beat, they could have won it on the last play of the game. A little something that, isn't that something? He admits he blames himself for letting up and not running full speed.
What? And you think about with your book, Tony, how that would have just changed
everything. You wouldn't be here, Tony. We wouldn't be talking to you.
Yeah, we would.
Stick with us. Tony Walters, back up this.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
So what year was this a number one song, Mino?
Oh, man.
It's either 70 or 71.
Choose one. Choose wisely.
Aha. 71.
70.
You got it. 70 is correct.
Oh, so you said choose one.
No, I said choose one.
And I thought that you were giving him a hint, 71, but then you said choose wisely. I thought, he doesn't want him to pick one.
You know what you sound like right now? You sound exactly... Tut.
And you want to do a game show with
this guy? I'm going to tell you who he sounds exactly like. Look up Spider in Goodfellas. When he says to Tommy, and Tommy says, "What the bleep is this? I told you I wanted scotch and soda. I thought you said scotch and water." No, I said, you said scotch and water.
Okay, whatever. All right. I thought he was, I'm trying to make a point that he was trying to help you out.
Got a texter. Tony's stories are very interesting. Yes, sir. Got another texter. Hi, guys. Listening from the UP, Lake Ogebeck, Christina. Hey, Christina.
All right.
Your dad is coming on in just a minute. I believe that's the same Christina. Tony, did you hear my story about the Lance Rentzel thing, and had you ever heard that before?
No, I hadn't. And, Lance Rentzel was the one who caught the go-ahead touchdown pass at the start of the fourth quarter.
Halfback option, Dan Reeves.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I hadn't heard that story. I do remember the long passes that I remember one of the passes was attended for Bob Hayes, but and some of the Cowboys thought that there was pass interference, but it was not going to be called. So, there were like two desperation passes and the game was over.
You know what I'm really happy about? I'm really happy that Donnie Anderson in his later years, did you talk to him, by the way, Tony?
No, I didn't talk to Anderson. I did talk to the players in the game, except I did get a couple of the Cowboys talk to me. Some of the veteran Cowboys talked about the fact that why did the heck did they play that game in the first place? But no, I didn't talk to the Packer players.
But anyway, Donnie Anderson,
except for Mercine.
Now in his later years, Donnie Anderson is saying that he scored and the ref screwed it up, that he scored on the second time he carried it.
Yeah. It was close. There's definitely was close. And, you know, you get the different camera angles today, you know, could show that a little bit better. But, yeah, he felt he was in there. But on that, I think on the first try, the second try was definitely blocked. But
that's the reason that he ran in, or that's the reason, because the play was called for Mercine to carry the ball, 34 wedge, I believe, was the play. And because correct. Anderson couldn't get any footing, I think that's where Starr decided, okay, you know what? I've at least have better footing because I'm right at the line of scrimmage. And that was the whole, because of Anderson not getting in twice. And it would not have been nearly as fun if Donnie Anderson had scored. I despise Donnie Anderson. I told you my Donnie Anderson story, Tony. But anyway.
Yeah, you did. He
100
did.
Times I've told that story where he turned me down for an autograph right. when I was a kid, yada, yada, yada.
John's
got the
almost
shop
over
going
it.
Again. Right. I'm almost over it. So I'm so glad he didn't score. But Donnie Anderson thinks his life would have been different, completely different, if he had scored that touchdown in the Ice Bowl.
It may have been.
I mean, think about sure. it.
I mean, it may have been because you remember we talked a little bit about Favre, Gastineau, you know, yeah. just. If that can pole vault you to
not even
giving talks, getting a few more $100, I didn't know all that. Like I just thought the game was the game, you know. And now I hear that we were, you know, some guy throttled back, or he could have got a touchdown and beat us.
Yeah,
wow, that would have changed. This
yeah, you know what I'm ticked off at Lombardi about though, Tony?
What's that?
You know what I'm ticked off at Lombardi about?
What's that?
Chuck Mercine. The Chuck Mercine story is such a great story. Grew up in Milwaukee, played high school football at, I believe, Marquette, went to Yale, bounced around the NFL, New York Giants, Washington Redskins, Packers had some injuries. They were devastated with injuries. That, you know, you want to talk about what happened afterwards. Oh, what a disappointment with the Packers from 68 on. That was a walking, wounded, old team at the end of 1967. I mean, there was not a lot of gas left in the tank. And it was one of those situations where they were just, Lombardi did a phenomenal job picking up Chuck Mercine off waivers. He had some of the biggest plays down the stretch in the Ice Bowl. It was huge for him. It was the greatest moment of his life. And they assumed then because he did so good, he was going to start the next week in the Super Bowl. And he never played, never got off the bench.
No. Yeah, he told me that the Super Bowl really defined him. And, you know, it's something that he's, in fact, that he wrote the foreword for my book and did such a great job of that. And he said he still runs into people. He ran into Bill Murray, the comedian, who once said, Chuck Mercine, the Ice Bowl. So
wow.
It was his identity. Yeah.
Isn't that something? I mean, just like we were saying about like if Donnie Anderson had scored.
Right.
You know, it's and Chuck Mercine because, well, NFL films, I still remember him catching that pass out in the left flat, Tony. Remember him chugging down the sidelines? And he almost scored, that was, actually.
That was a big play. That got him a first down. And that kept the drive alive. And it was the next play, then the pass to Mercine that took it down into, you know, into the red zone.
Yep. And then it was, you know, just inching your way forward from there.
That's amazing, the recall you guys have on that. But football does that. I mean, even today.
God. I could see it in my mind.
But even today, though, I think these games are so exciting, and they get down to these last couple plays. So many games are now within 2, 3, 4 points, you know. And, yeah, I think but whoever came up, I don't know. I just think that's an awesome revenue stream, right? I mean, the NFL, it just gets better and better and better.
Todd. He's got to mention revenue or finances.
Absolutely.
Revenue or finances.
That's the name of the game show. Revenue or finances.
Revenues or finances, yeah. Well, Tony, it's really great having you on.
And
wonderful, wonderful, wonderful memories. One last thing you want to say about all your years covering the Green Bay Packers and your work with the Press Gazette?
Oh, no, it's just that having grown up there, you know, and you cheer for the Packers, but then you also work the games, and it's a professional job. But I always tell people it's football. Enjoy it, but it's football. It's not life and death, you know. And
absolutely.
Today, you know, today people are just moaning and groaning about what happened on Sunday. And I said, a better team won.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
It was there was an article one time in a national magazine, and it talked about how the fans are more depressed than the players.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exactly. Not even a question. That's
exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not even a question. You know what? As a player said one time, payday is Tuesday, win or lose.
Yeah.
And as
yeah.
Larry McCarron told me one time during his playing days, it's not whether you win or lose. It's who gets the blame. Yeah, yeah. Tony Walters, wonderful having you on. You've written some great books.
Guys.
Keep it rocking, my friend.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you so very much for joining us, Tony.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Take care, buddy.
Guy, huh?
Coming up next, he's the best. Coming up next, Chuck Wellens talking about his day in, or his night in Vietnam listening to the Ice Bowl. Back after this.
What year, John?
65.
You're off this morning, 1963.
That far back they go, huh? Yeah. That's awesome.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. This spring's Wisconsin Supreme Court election between former Republican Attorney General Brad Scheimel and liberal Dane County Judge Susan Crawford is promising to be another high-spending contest for ideological control of the court. Wisconsin Watch is fact-checking the candidates, including Scheimel's claim that Crawford opposes the state's voter ID law. Is that true? Here's Tricia Young.
Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Susan Crawford has opposed the state's voter ID law, which took effect in 2016. Crawford, a lawyer in a lawsuit that challenged voter ID, suggested it would be, quote, acceptable, unquote, if voters could sign affidavits instead of showing ID. In 2018, she called the law, quote, draconian, unquote. UW-Madison estimated the law prevented 4,000 to 11,000 Milwaukee and Madison area voters in 2016. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Setting New Year's resolutions, or goals, is the tradition for the beginning of the new year. Emily Wright, a lifestyle coach with True Self Coaching and Energetics in Poinette, says keeping the goals achievable is important.
I think it's important to have a realistic expectation so we're not setting ourselves up for a disappointment right away. And I think the baby steps is key because that way we can, maybe you have the goal of 40 pounds, but maybe it's 2 pounds in the first month. So can we achieve that? Fantastic. Can we achieve then what is the next one?
Wright also recommends writing down your goals so that you can revisit them and celebrate your successes. From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Happy New Year's Eve to you here. Coming your way from 97.9 FM, WGBW 98.3 WISS in Oshkosh and our brand new affiliate, 96.5 FM WISS in Appleton. 32 degrees in Green Bay, 32 in Appleton, 32 in Oshkosh. New Year's Eve, it is Champagne Day. It is Make Up Your Mind Day. Donald Trump Jr. is 46. Anthony Hopkins, who will forever, he could do any movie or anything in the world, and he's always Hannibal Lecter.
Yep.
No matter what. No Val doubt. Kilmer is 64. Is he? I thought Val passed away. No.
Nope. He's alive.
Boy, did he look rough in the new Top Gun.
That's why you thought he was dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got a text here. Hi, Dad. We're having pasties today that my husband made. I'll save one for you, John. Love the stories you guys got this morning. Who's that? Any idea who that would be, Chuck? Go ahead. Put the headphones on you. Any idea who might be having a pasty in the UP today?
Yep, with her husband? That'd be my daughter.
Get up to the microphone.
That'd be my daughter.
There you go. She married a Uper, right?
Yeah, all the way, yeah.
He's got two grandsons, Jim, that if you wanted to carve out a mini Uper, Finlander, linebacker, lumberjack, your two grandsons fit that mode perfectly, don't they?
Oh, for sure, yep. And I was holding the newborn one. He's about 3 months old now. And I thought, does he have any of my traits? Then he passed gas for about 5 seconds and fell asleep. And I said, hey, he's got some.
You got something? We're with Chuck Wellens. Chuck's got a great story to tell about his days in Vietnam regarding on this day, the Ice Bowl Day. And Ron Umentum, who I just can't believe the picture that you're captured in for immortality sake, who has also ended up in Vietnam, but was at the Ice Bowl. Then we got Rocky Blyer coming up, who brings it all together with us. So really honored to have you guys. Ronnie Umentum, great to have you here, buddy.
Thank you, John.
Now, I got to tell you, looking at that picture that you got blown up, I had seen it smaller. So we've got a picture. I don't know if, Todd, if we could put it up, I don't know, in the camera or something, but people have to see this. I mean, you went through Vietnam. You went through a tough life, whatever, growing up and everything. We still talk about how you had icicles coming out of your ceiling. Jim and I talked about that one day that you told us the day at the steak fry. Or at steak fry.
You had heat in your bedroom.
At the cholesterol fest?
Oh, at the cholesterol. You mean when I lived on the farm?
Maybe. Yes.
Oh, yeah. We didn't have an insulation in the house. We only had one one furnace in the middle of the room downstairs with a small hole in the floor to heat the upstairs. And when we'd go to bed at night, if I brought a glass of water up there, it would be froze by morning. And wow. I had three other brothers. So during the winter, we all slept together.
Wow. Isn't that something? Well, Chuck, we got to talk
about... No CPS back? No Child Protective Services? I mean, wow, that just wouldn't happen today. But, I mean, look how well you turned out, right?
That
well,
probably you know what, a lot of, though?
I don't.
That wasn't a big deal back then. A bunch of people. I slept with two of my brothers. When both of my brothers came home from the Army, and I was probably like seven, I slept between them. So we had three people in a bed.
Yeah, but you had heat, is what I'm saying.
Well, we had
I was
heat,
talking about the heat. I don't care who slept
I was used to that. So when the Ice Bowl came up, that was a piece of cake.
Well, Chuck, I'm going to start with you. First of all, a graduate of Premontre High School, played football, the whole thing, and then you join the Army and you get sent. Army and the Marines! Oh! Lordy, I'm so sorry.
It's last time he's on.
last time he comes in. Talk about what you remember on New Year's Eve of 1967, where you were, what you were doing, and the whole thing.
Okay, I was. I got to Vietnam about mid-December, and I landed in Da Nang. Marines were up in the I Corps, and the outfit I was attached to, the infantry company I was going to be attached to, was up by the DMZ then.
And that's why I said when I Corps, that's the most northern part of Vietnam, where a lot of action took place, because it was right across the imaginary line. Yeah. What did you call that line? That
the DMZ?
Time? Yeah, but there was another name you came up for it with McNamara's. Was it McNamara's line? The idiots or something?
Oh, McNamara's morons.
It's a great one, yeah.
And no disrespect to you, Chuck. You just talked about the people that got sent there down the road. But you were so far up north, it was incredible. Young kid from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Talk about, or actually.
Styles.
Styles, Wisconsin. Talk about what. I mean, how your world changed, where you were, what you were doing.
Well, it was all new to me. We were considered the FNG, new guy, is the last word. I won't say the first word, fill in the blank there. But we got no respect, as Rodney Dangerfield would say, but we had to earn it. And I'm sure you agree with me that, Ron, you earned that when you actually got in combat. So I started heading to link up with my company, and they were at the place called Quezon at the time. Never heard of it. Very remote area. We flew in there. It was relatively quiet then. And the day we spent Christmas Day at the base itself, and it was the last shower and the last hot meal I had to have for 4 months. Then the day after Christmas, we walked to a hill outpost about a mile from the base itself, It was called Hill 861. The number meant the meters high it was. It overlooked the Caisson Basin. It was a thorn in the side for the enemy, so that you for keep the high ground. You know, we were able. The base itself was down in a valley.
And again, North Vietnamese, you could see, or North Vietnam, you could see it probably from that hill, right?
Oh yeah, it was. You could see the Ho Chi Minh Trail at nighttime. You'd see the vehicles going down it, and it was quite an experience, all new to me. And I think I can share this with Ron. I had no clue what was going to go on. I just assumed that. I don't know where I got this idea. I figured the North were backward people with old rusted rifles from World War I.
Right.
Well, I was wrong. The North Vietnamese were very well disciplined, but I found that out in the future. But for the first month, about, you were able to adjust. We pulled daily patrols down into the valley, seen a lot of activity. Still not a bit scared. I was just too dumb to be scared, I guess. And then one of the things we had, I was in a mortar squad. It was a 60-millimeter mortar squad, and there was a gunner and a gunner, and we had a radio watch at nighttime. And being the FNG, I got always the middle of the night radio watch. And the radio was connected to our command post, they were in touch by means of the backpack radios with the guys that were outside the perimeter at night, either ambush or a listening post. And if they needed supporting arms, be it high explosive rounds from us or illumination rounds, they'd call and we'd answer the radio. Well, it was a underground bunker. Two guys, the gunner and the A-gunner, slept in that bunker. And then you man the radio. The only light you had was a flickering candle. But we did have one luxury we had in this very, very remote area was a transistor radio. We were able to get batteries from it because they had to replace them in the radios that they had there. So we always had that. And they had music from the 60s. And they had a disc jockey on there. Her name was Chris Noel. And she had the sexiest voice in the world. And I always remember her signature thing was, "Hi, love." And then they'd play the music from the 60s. And you just sat there, 2-hour watch, and it was probably 1-2 in the morning, and I was listening on the radio, and they interrupted the program to say that live from Green Bay, Wisconsin, Lambeau Field. I thought I was dreaming. No, this can't be true. And here it is, you know, halfway around the world, and I'm listening to the, you know, I was a very avid Packer fan, still am, but you know, it was just remarkable. Like, you fell off the face of the earth where we were at. It was so remote, and to be able to listen to that, and the whole game, I took my watch, the next guy's watch, and I think I went into I didn't fall asleep either, you know. But I listened, and I'll never forget at the you know, it was an AM. They had a strong signal there, the Armed Forces radio network and repeaters. So in being up on a hill, we got a pretty good signal, even on an AM station there. And it was they started to lose the signal. You know how it fades in and out?
Right. That's AM radio.
right towards the end of the game. And I had my ear right up to the speaker. And I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden I heard two words, star and touchdown. And I let out an old Packer yelp. The two guys that were sleeping, they just jumped up, and they called me every dirty name in the book.
This is in the middle of the night on a hill in Vietnam.
Yep, and they said, they're probably not Packer fans, I guess. But, I mean, and I don't know how they got that signal over there. I imagine it was remote to the prehistoric to today's standards, but obviously they had a
relay to relay.
Exactly. I don't know how they did it, but it was such an important part of, you know, it really cheered you up quite a bit. And then it'd be the 57th year of the anniversary of the start of Tet then, which was January 21st. Mm-hmm. And that's where I lost my FNG title.
It all hit the fan right then, huh?
Yeah, it was quite an episode. So I mean, but I'm still here. I'm happy. Wow. I made a lot of new friends.
But for a young kid, homesick, you know, where in the world am I to hear Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Oh yeah, yep. And it's funny because a lot of the fellows at that time, I mean, you were talking the, you know, the 60s, they didn't even know where Wisconsin was. But when you said Green Bay Packers, you know, so it was quite a thrill and an honor. And I mean, I was floating high for a couple of days.
What a phenomenal story.
That's awesome. Wow. And we still have that. You know, you talk about you're halfway around the world, and Green Bay, Wisconsin meant something. Even today, right, when you travel, some people don't know where Wisconsin is, but everybody knows the Packers.
That's it. Yeah, they put us on the map for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And your world changed in a couple of weeks then, huh?
Yes, on the 21st of January, I found out that it wasn't old rusty rifles that they were carrying. We got hit, and we got hit bad. They busted through our lines, and... it was just from then on, we were stationary, completely surrounded by a very strong North Vietnamese army. It had been suicide to go down, so we just stayed in a defensive position for almost 4 months. But we had one another. You know, I mean, I tell you, the brotherhood of the military is just remarkable. And I say that
it still is, isn't it?
You betcha. Oh, yeah. And I tell you, as you get older, and I thank, you know, John, you guys so much for, you know, honoring us veterans. It means so much to us.
It's well deserved, buddy. Oh, yeah. We're doing the easy part. You guys did the heavy lifting. Right, well. We just BS for a living.
Yeah. That is a great story, though. Everybody feels so bad that you were there, and that was like a slice of. Kind of hometown, right?
Yeah,
right
it was.
Here, you know?
And then at the time, I brought the thing along, the article along. I was, they had a thing or something about honoring the 40th anniversary of the Ice Bowl, and by that time, it had been kind of iconic already, you know.
Yeah.
And we.
We're going to catch up with
that. Yeah, we're going to catch up with that.
Right after this.
We got Chuck Wellens talking about an amazing story when he was in Vietnam. Ron Umentum, who ended up in Vietnam shortly after the Ice Bowl. But there was a look on his face on a classic picture that we've got here. You looked like the Viet Cong were coming after you right then, Ron. You had a look of terror in your face. We'll talk about it when we come back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
What year was this number one, John Mino?
It's old.
62.
One.
61.
Wow.
Jim Schmidt is winning today.
Jim is kicking my butt today on that.
Hot.
Well, we're... Wow. Okay, we're a year apart, John. That's why.
I know. All right.
Putting up that picture, by the way, with...
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
If you can look on our thing. Yeah, that is you, Ryan.
Well, that picture was just made a week ago. My son Ryan made it, and... I never had that picture made. It's the first time I saw it made that size in, what is that, 58 years, 57 years?
57.
That's incorrect. So describe, for people that can't see that picture, describe it. This is, and for everybody's seen the highlights of the Ice Bowl, but after the game ended, you guys went crazy on the field, tore down the goalposts. First of all, I can never figure out how you can even tear down a goalpost. What was in your mind that day? When you stormed the field, how old were you? What's going on in your world, Rod and Umentum, on that day of the Ice Bowl when you're tearing down the goalposts?
Well, at the moment, there was a lot of Pabst Blue Ribbon on my mind. we talk about the cold weather.
Well, you know what's funny? When you see pictures of the scoreboard, the big thing on top, it isn't a Packer logo. It's a Pabst logo.
It is, and that's what I was drinking. And, well, anyway, when I went to the Packer game, my sister and brother-in-law had an extra ticket because they couldn't find anybody else to go. So we end up sitting, I believe it was on row 15, in the same end zone that Bart Starr, wearing number 15, crossed the goal line. Right, it was right in front of him. And then like, was it 30, 35 years later, I end up getting tickets in row 15.
Out of the blue.
Yes.
Unbelievable. So game ends. How old are you?
I was 18.
And what happened? Well, you weren't allowed to drink yet, so you weren't. That wasn't a problem.
Oh yes, it was 18 years.
Oh, was it then?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you Denmark boys, you're like that. What happened then?
First
well,
beer.
Well, yeah. After he scored, of course, there was a few more plays. I think after.
Yeah.
But a bunch of people, you know, jumped the wall or fence, and started onto the field, and I was on my way over too, and I wanted to get one of the Titletown banners.
Okay. Well, everybody was heading there, and I saw the goalpost on the opposite end, so I started heading down there as fast as I could. And people were falling off the goalpost. When I got on, my hands were so cold. If you look at the picture, my hands were so cold, they were in a ball. They weren't in the fingers, because you can see it clearly on the picture.
Oh, the glove.
And when I got there, there was a guy ahead of me on the post, and I remember he flipped over and he fell off. And I got all the way up to the to where the post goes.
How
up.
Do you climb up that on a cold, icy piece of metal? How did you climb up to the crossbar?
It was called the Pabst push.
Wow.
No, there was people kind of pushing you up.
Okay.
And then when I got up there, and I don't know how I got up the other angle, because then it started to turn, and all of a sudden it somebody stole my hat. Okay. It's like Tony was saying that they stole one of the coach's hats.
Vince Lombardi's. Yeah.
And so if I've ever got my hat, I would like to have it back.
Yeah, I don't know.
So anyway, we got up to the top where the goalpost, and it snapped off and fell into the crowd. And it didn't hit the ground because it just fell into all the people. And then it snapped off. People started dragging it. And I had to catch my ride home because my sister and brother-in-law stayed in the seats, and I had to make sure I got back to the car. So I just left. And but I never knew that picture was taken.
When so, you look like you're hanging on for dear life in that picture.
I was. It was very cold, and that goalpost was ice cold. And it was just, like I said, you can see in the picture, I didn't have my fingers extended into the gloves because my hands were so cold.
And when you went on the field, did you think, ooh, I shouldn't really be doing this? Or was the crowd, did anybody, the cops say, hey, look?
I think Harry mentioned the Pabst factor.
Well, you know, speaking of the Pabst, so you can only drink so many, because that's back in the day when you could bring it in. And I think I had stuffed there maybe 6 or 8 cans, you know, in my jacket.
Wow.
And you could take, if you open the can, you could keep it close to your body. If you open the can, you could take 2 drinks, and it was froze.
Yeah.
So you had to kind of almost chug them down. So that's how cold it was.
Wow.
It would freeze.
Were you legally allowed to carry in? I remember my dad would carry a flask, and every time the Packers would score, they'd do a shot, but you just hide that. I didn't know you could carry alcohol into games.
Well, I ushered for 26 or 27 years. And during my early days of ushering, people could bring bottles of whiskey. I saw people bringing quarter barrels of beer.
I never knew this.
They would carry the quarter barrels of beer and then pass the beer down the cups down.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Different
now
era.
That, nothing's changed.
If I was mayor.
Wow.
Wow, that's great stuff. So we've got Chuck Wellens, who, as we mentioned, was in the United States Marine Corps right at the border of North Vietnam. Chuck, was that about as bad a place as you could be in Vietnam at that? You didn't know it yet, but was that about as bad as a place you could be at that time?
I would say yes, but I was totally, it was my initiation into Vietnam. And I thought after that, I'm not going to make it for 13 months. We had a 13-month tour. And come to find out, it wasn't that bad all the time once we left Khe Sanh, you know, but it was a constant, it was very intense. Your nerves were on edge, you know, but there again, you looked around you, we were all in the same boat, and we were brothers. We protected
Chuck, I think, you know why the Marines spent 13 months in Vietnam? It took the Army 12 months to get the job done.
I felt that one coming.
Okay, we're going to be sending it to a quick break. We're going to talk about more, and we've got Rocky Blyer coming up in just a little bit. Chuck, that was really cool when we had him at the Veterans Village a couple of years ago, and we had a little get-together with Rocky and you and him, and you tell him about how you didn't quite tackle him, but you thought you touched his foot as he ran past you?
I seen the bottom of his...
Or you saw
just saw the bottom of his cleats there.
Same as tackling Rocky Blyer.
Yeah, that's
the most close as anybody got when he was in high school. This is great having you guys on. Again, Rocky Blyer coming up. Joe Furlow, the Grand Oshkosh PBS special being aired tonight that was shot there. Mino and the Mayor coming your way. 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 in Oshkosh and Appleton on WISS. Back after this.
And what year was this number one?
76.
75.
Damn! Yeah.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.